Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
You're listening to the Wes and Walker Show.
Here are the two bad ones. Because you're an offensive lineman. Because you're a left tackle. There's a couple that pertain there.
Yeah.
What about the offensive grapple?
It's Wes.
No, yeah, hell no.
Yeah, that's not good. That's awful. That sounds like something your grandmother would come up with.
Ladies and gentlemen, the offensive grapple.
Yeah, I'm not even walking out to that.
And Walker.
This one's even worse than offensive grapple. Okay. All right, you ready? WrestleMania.
Yeah. No, hell no. Yeah.
That's
I'm embarrassed to even bring that to the airwaves.
Yeah.
Only on Sports Radio 92.7 FM WFNZ.
Oh, that's fire. I don't care who you say.
Welcome back, folks. It is NFL draft day. Happy draft day to all of you out there. I hope your teams pick players that are good, but not good enough to beat the 49ers. So how about that? This is the Wes and Walker Show, Sports Radio 97.
But why?
WFNZ. Keep the text coming on the text line, 704-570-9610. Hey, hit that social media follow button to get all the behind-the-scenes stuff, the reels, the strong takes, everything that you want to see on WFNZ on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at WesBryan_72, at WalkerMail, at HTB_Josh, and most importantly, at Wes and Walker on Twitter. Let's get to it. Lots to talk about. It is time for the Campus Corner. All right, folks, Greensboro, North Carolina has been home to many top football recruits over the years, the decades, whatever you want to say, but they will have a number one player coming out of Greensboro in the 2026 class. Say hello to Brandon. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Brandon.
Faison Brandon out of Greensboro. Big time recruit, and he is going to be the nation's number one prospect in the 2026 class. And this guy has gotten it out of the mud. He was previously ranked number 74 in the class. 15 years old, one of the youngest prospects to come through a recruiting cycle. He's going to be younger than a lot of the players in his class. He came to high school at 6'2". Now he's about 6'4" and 200 pounds. His first offer was East Carolina, and now since then, everyone else has followed. You name it, the top schools in the country have offered the young man. Like many kids that grew up around these parts, he grew up a UNC fan, watched a lot of Cam Newton and the Panthers. Now he says his favorite NFL quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. This kid is a great student. He threw for 3,000 yards, 36 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions last season. And he says he wants to cut down on the interceptions as one of his goals for next season and to get to 4,000 yards passing. So congratulations to this young man. And hopefully, you know, he winds up in Winston-Salem if I can hit the lottery and drop a bag on him.
The NIL deal. Are you going to steal from Fitty's R.J. Davis NIL fund?
Yeah, matter of fact, I think I might ask, can I get Fitty's salary and just start that off as a down payment to him.
Talks about them fat stats.
Yeah,
that's what he talks about.
Yeah.
I have a question. I don't know if it's crazy, but you can tell me I'm crazy if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fine. Won't be the first time. Drake May, Chris Leak, Will Greer, Faison Brandon. The last 20 years, do we
have forget Jaden Davis?
Jaden
at Michigan.
Well, that yes. Okay, there you go. Do we have a little bit of a QB history in the state of North Carolina?
Oh, no doubt about it.
I wonder how it would look compared to other states, because California, Florida, Texas, recruiting hotbeds. Georgia certainly has become one. Maybe it's always been one, but it feels a little more prevalent lately. All the prospects that are coming there. Feels like North Carolina does have some really top-notch QBs, though, with Chris Lee going to Florida, Will Greer being highly sought after, and Drake May about to be a top two, top three pick. Seems like we got
And also got to give it up to Sam Howell as well out of Sun Valley High School, too. Can't forget about him. Yeah, man, we definitely produced I share prospects in a Tar Heel state, and I include myself in that because I rep NC at all times, Charlotte and surrounding areas beyond. So, yeah, man, this kid is the latest in the line of quarterbacks from around the area.
Now, you can't get mad at Faison Brandon if he doesn't go to Wake out of high school because you didn't even go to Wake out of high school.
I didn't.
You didn't even choose your own program.
You're right. This is true. So maybe
eventually you came to your senses.
So maybe, you know, just to connect the dots, I'll just have to wait, win the lottery, and then wherever he goes, go get him and bring him back.
Makes sense.
What I'm saying? All right. So talking about Drake May, though, Walker Mail, his selection tonight in the NFL draft looks to be top five outside of any surprises. What do we feel like that his selection will do for the UNC program? Because we know that they've had their share of selections. We know that Trubisky was also a top five pick, too. But now Drake May comes in. What does this do for the UNC program, especially in this era NIL transfer pool?
You know, it is an interesting question because I think the Trubisky failing so badly in the NFL probably didn't do North Carolina any favors because you start to develop this reputation. North Carolina didn't have enough QBs to develop this with only Trubisky there. But we always would go to Ohio State. Do you want to draft a Buckeye as your quarterback? Because they just don't typically work out at the next level passing the football. So I was hoping that they could avoid this with North Carolina, and we'll see what Drake May does once he does get to the NFL. But Sam Howell, Mitch Trubisky, now even here with Drake May going top three at the very worst top five, it has to do something. It certainly isn't hurting this Carolina program. And so if it helps you get in the door for some of these other top QB recruits, hey, we have been able to put QBs in the NFL in a way we literally were never able to do beforehand. I mean, I'm sure, Fitty, you would know better than I do, but wasn't it basically TJ Yates who was the first North Carolina quarterback to start an NFL game?
And won playoff games.
Well,
so.
I know we won playoff games, but I think it was TJ Yates, which was like, you know, a little over a decade ago that he was there.
Yeah, so you're not wrong. I mean, if Drake May hits, it only helps them to recruit that position because everyone, I think, could have seen Trubisky being a flop. He had 13 college starts. And kind of like Drake and Sam, like you look back at the back half of that season, he was nowhere near as good as he was the first half of the season. The book's not written on Sam Howell. I think he can still be a really good quarterback in this league. I like where he is in Seattle. But if Drake May, say if he lands in Minnesota and he's in that environment and he becomes a guy, it makes it easier for you to go in these rooms and say we can develop NFL talent at that quarterback position. And if you're getting that in your program, puts you in a better position to win on Saturdays.
Yeah, I think too, man. Obviously, that pedigree is going to help for them as far as recruits, knowing that they can go to North Carolina and reach the height of heights. You know, do you want to make it to the college football playoff and things of that nature? That may be another question. But as far as getting drafted highly, maybe a kid like Faison Brandon is looking at this growing up a UNC fan and saying, hey, I see what they did with those guys. I can go there and do the same thing, too. So I think Drake May and that visibility that he's going to bring tonight to that program can only help them at the most important position in the sport. So also moving on from that, aside from Drake May, though, because I think he's going to do fairly well in the NFL. And I know you guys think that he's going to be a star as well. But outside of Drake May, who is a guy, local prospect, where they can be the hometown guy or from this state or from a college in this state will be the biggest star of this draft, not named Drake May. I'll kick this thing off. I will go with Peyton Wilson out of NC State from Hillsboro, North Carolina. Okay. You want to talk about high school stuff? He was a high school state champion wrestler, but his 40-yard dash, the way he ripped it down at the combine, and frankly, the way he ripped it down at NC State, went through his injury issues, but really bounced back to have a Butt Kiss Award-winning season. 138 tackles, 17.5 a loss, 6 sacks, 3 interceptions. This guy's a big play waiting to happen. He's got an intensity about him from the first time he ever came in our room at the ACC Digital Network. I love everything that he brings to the table. And if Peyton Wilson fails, it would be because of injuries, because I think this guy has a passion for the game. He plays with an intensity, to me, that has star written all over.
Yeah, if we're going hometown, I think Cedric Gray has a chance to be a good linebacker in the NFL. And if he's going to be somebody that is drafted where you're probably seeing a lot of linebackers go off of the board once you get to that third round, fourth round scenario, that's when those guys are starting to fall off these days or fall off draft boards. Maybe Cedric Gray is one that hits amidst a bunch of other players selected in that area. If we're just going college, not having to have played high school in the local area, mm-hmm. I really am excited about what Graham Barton can do. I don't think he's going to fail. I think you see him have a long NFL career, being so athletic, having that versatility playing center, but also being very good at offensive tackle. Excited to see what Barton can do, but if we're doing hyper-local, Cedric Gray would be my answer.
Fitty, do you have a nominee for who you think could be one of those guys?
Sam Hartman.
Funny guy.
No, it would be the guy I've talked a lot about maybe being a selection maybe at 39, but feel better about 65. It's Peyton Wilson, because I do think he could be a game changer at linebacker in this defense and really be the future of the middle of the defense moving forward, because we know Shaq Thompson's tenure as a Panther, by the fact his contract gets restructured literally every offseason, at some point he's not going to be playing linebacker for the Panthers. They'll need to fill that void at some point. So, you know, Peyton Wilson would be a guy that I'd like to see what the NFL future holds for him.
All right, a guy that is a draft sleeper that I think could be a guy that steps into the league and blows up like Nitro were the Biggie Smalls. I'm going to go right to the Wake Forest Demon Deacons right here out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Weddington High School, Malik Mustafa. He's gotten some Bob Sanders comparisons at that 5'10", 209-pound size. He runs sub 4'4", had a 41.5-inch vertical jump, and for his career, Wake Forest, he broke up 10 passes and had 15 for loss. According to PFF, he had 21 run stops, which was ranked 15th for all safeties. But this is a guy that will run up and smack you. And don't let the size fool you out there, 5'10", because I've seen him hit some big boys like Trey Benson from FSU and make them go backwards, man. Mm. So he packs a punch when he comes to hit you, and he's definitely one of those guys that can find his way towards the football when it is in the sky as well. So Malik Mustafa's definitely a name to look for that's right out of the Queen City.
Probably would be better served going Cedric Gray here with the guy that's a little bit of a sleeper who is going to then have such a big impact at the next level. But that's somebody I would roll with. A lot of people like Mustafa, man. I saw Lewis Riddick tweeting about him.
He's a baller,
playing
man.
Downhill, not afraid to hit at all in the backfield. And this is what Wake Forest is starting to do a little bit as well with the defensive backs. We've seen them start to develop a reputation, especially with Jesse Bates coming in and having that success. If Mustafa can do that, now you're starting to see a trend with some of the safeties that Dave Clawson is able to get to the next level.
Fitty, do you have a favorite underdog from one of the schools or that is from here?
Yeah, I'd probably focus in on Cedric Gay. I think that's a guy that could be a difference maker, because he was a really, really good linebacker on a bad defense with no defensive linemen. I'd love to see what he could do in a situation where you have adequate talent up front and puts him in a position to make more plays, you know, at or behind the line of scrimmage.
All right, when we come back, folks, Panthers minicamp is underway, and Coach Canales has taken the quarterbacks to QB school. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
City and surrounding areas. This is the Weston Walker Show, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. The Panthers starting to get after it, attacking the 2024 season. But before we do all that, the NFL draft is tonight as well. I know you guys are excited out there. Keep the text coming on the FanDuel text line, 704-570-9610. And so one of the things that Coach Canales, he's been talking about it all offseason, is his plans for Bryce Young. And he talks about it in detail and step by step, and how, you know, he wants to break Bryce Young down to the fundamentals and get him on the Coach Canales school of quarterbacking so he can have a more successful sophomore season. Calls it QB school. But not only is Bryce Young doing it, all of the quarterbacks are doing it. And Coach Canales has talked about how it's worked for all of the guys that he's worked with when we talked about his reputation, whether it be Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, all of those guys that he has had success with. They are all graduates. I don't know if they had hats and tassels from Coach Canales' QB school. So let's hear from Coach on what exactly that entails, starting with Bryce Young.
Start with the basics. Here's my stance. Here's the footwork inventory. So these are how we talk about the language. We have five types of reads. Here are those reads. So it's really just about the basics, you know, just giving him the language. And I think that if we can get all on the same page with the language, again, new offense, new terms. So it all starts there. And if we can communicate, we speak the same language, we can build anything pretty fast.
All right, Walker Mail, how much do you think Coach Canales' QB school will help Bryce Young get back to the basics?
What I like about what Coach Canales is telling us is that he's not even going to do anything crazy at the very beginning. Basically, what he's doing is fixing all of the problems that the previous coaching staff created. We got to get on the same language. Doesn't that sound like pretty fundamental stuff?
Yeah.
But also it seems pretty necessary. Yeah, I would like every single one of the people making decisions offensively to use the same terminology, to use the same language. It seems like a pretty basic ask. And yet it didn't seem like Frank Reich, Jim Caldwell, whoever was involved creating the offense, they weren't on the same page. And we got documented evidence of that. We also had reports of that, whether it be rumor or whether it be just an outright report. Nobody was on the same page, which is going to hurt Bryce Young. So I like that Dave Canales isn't trying to go crazy with it, not trying to reinvent the wheel again. We can start to do some of the more nuance and focus on the details a little later. But when he references language as the foundation of how you get better as a quarterback, that's fixing the other coaching staff's problems.
Yeah, I like a whole lot of this, man, for so many different reasons. And I think, you know, for Bryce Young, and we know what happened with Young in the previous coaching regime. But with Coach Canales, I just love everything that he's doing as far as breaking Bryce down to, you know, again, the basics. And so for Bryce Young now, he can take the time, no pressures on at the moment, and just get back into what makes him a special player. And I think Coach Canales has a really great read on what that is. But I think this quarterback school for himself and the other quarterbacks on this roster are participating in it as well. So even for Andy Dalton, you know, he talked about how it's funny seeing him over there working on stance and starts for a guy that's been in the league as long as he has. But I think for Bryce Young, this is just perfect for him, because he can eliminate some of the little things in his game that can cause mistakes, because a lot of people don't pay attention so much. They think a quarterback can just get out there and just throw it and just get out there and just play whatever style and be effective, especially with what we see now from the Patrick Mahomes and some of those guys. We hear so much about the off-platform throws and how special that makes a prospect. Hell, the number one prospect in this draft, that's one of the things that people love about him, is his off-platform play. But at the end of the day, you hear quarterback coaches say it all the time: the feet connect to the eyes, and everything starts from the feet up with a quarterback. So I think that when you coach guys that way, I think you're going to get the best results out of them.
There's two things I've loved hearing from Dave Canales. One, he seems to have a very detailed plan.
Yes.
That is Bryce specific. There is none of this, you know, vague, like ambiguous conversation that he gives you at the podium. You know exactly what it is that Dave Canales wants from his quarterback. You speak of the platform, so does he. Not having too wide of a base. He discusses you having just the right base so you can get enough rotation on these throws that you need to drive home to get more velocity and accuracy. That's great. He wants to tell you exactly the amount of time that you should be holding on to the quarter or to the football. And if you don't release it in 2.7, 2.8 seconds, then that's when you might need to relocate in the pocket or escape the pocket. It's a very detailed plan. The other thing I love is if you just start to look at his resume, where's the quarterback, the starting quarterback that failed? Because I can't find it.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson. He was a quarterback with Dave Canales there in Seattle. Russell Wilson did anything but fail during his time with the Seahawks. Geno Smith. Geno Smith failed all across the board until he got to Seattle. And then Baker Mayfield, who had a roller coaster career. Great rookie season, terrible sophomore campaign. Third year was his best season in the NFL, maybe until this past year with Dave Canales. Wes, there is not a starting quarterback on a team that Dave Canales was coaching in which that quarterback failed. Maybe this is the first one. I hope not. But there are a couple of reasons. There's many, but those are two reasons that stand out to me as to why I love what Dave Canales has the potential to do with Bryce Young.
Jack says on the FanDuel text line, we drafted a quarterback who was the ultimate processor, and in year two, he has to be taught the fundamentals. I think you're very confused, sir, because every player needs to be fundamentally sound, and when they do start to ramp themselves back up for their respective seasons, everybody has to go back to the fundamentals and start there. So it's not like, oh, Bryce Young is some dummy or he completely forgot how to play the position. That has nothing to do with it. But there are parts of his game that sometimes either was neglected or just that he didn't work out enough to where Coach Canales is coming in and re-emphasizing those things. And we all go through this even in life at your job. You know, you get to points in your job where you might get a little bit sloppy and you're not as on point as you once were. And sometimes you have to have a bit of a reset and say, hey, let me get back to the basics. I know I've had to do it. I know all of you out there have had to do that, even in your own work or your daily lives. You get sometimes too busy for your families, and you say, hold on, let me reset and get back to what makes me me and, you know, get back to that family or whatever it is. So, no, not at all. This is not an indictment on Bryce Young. I think that this is excellent. And when you look at the results it has had, because you said, Walker, just his most recent piece of work was Baker Mayfield. And this was a guy that once he got with Coach Canales and he got that detailed coaching and really harped in on the little things, because I'm a firm believer that little things lead to big things. And if you do the little things wrong, you'll do the big things wrong and vice versa. And so I think that for some of these guys to get so caught up in careers and I got to be able to bounce back in year two and this, that, and the third. But when you have a coach that's really taking that TLC on you and saying, hey, let's clean up this footwork right here. Let's clean up your release. You can get this out a little bit faster if you do this. It makes a world of a difference.
I'm excited about the wide receivers he gets to work with, too. Not only just QB school helps Bryce Young. Love all of it. I love everything I'm hearing. But also we had Chris from Charlotte say all those QBs you mentioned, Walker, they had weapons at wide receiver, too, which is true. They had good wide receivers. But there's a lot of wide receivers in Seattle that he worked with that weren't stars, that were always considered underrated. Mm-hmm. They were always the best wide receivers to have not made a Pro Bowl. Yep. They always had that tag. I can even go back to 2012 when you're talking about a Golden Tate or even a Sidney Rice, who was very good at Minnesota, had the 1 year, but then had some success in Seattle a little bit later on. But then you go to David Moore, who was like a sixth, seventh round pick. I've mentioned Paul Richardson a couple of times that got a second contract and ended up signing a decent deal with Washington and never really did anything there in Washington. Now we're going to some of the other receivers like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Wes, these are guys that aren't drafted in the first round that became big parts of the passing game. So then you get stars in Tampa with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Mike Evans has one of his best seasons of an already Hall of Fame career, and Godwin goes for 1,000 yards again. I'm excited about what he can do with the QB and the wide receivers, the passing game as a whole. It feels like a guy has a very detail-oriented plan that's worked before, and I'm hoping it can work here in Carolina.
A 704 number brings a great point to the table. He says Bruce Lee once said, I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times.
Very deep. Yeah. Be water. Can Bryce Young be water?
All right, so another question I thought about off of this is, we know the success that he's had with veterans and reviving them. Could Coach Canales' success with his QB school be a potential threat to Bryce Young in that, all right, let's say Bryce, you know, doesn't play up to snuff, but then he gets Andy Dalton back to a point where he's cooking once again like he once was in his Pro Bowl seasons in Cincinnati and things of that nature. Do you think that that could be a possibility that if Bryce Young doesn't work out, he could revive in Andy Dalton?
I don't think it could be a detriment to Bryce Young because of that. He's 36 years old. Andy Dalton's going to be 37 this year.
Mm-hmm.
So right at the turn of November, his birthday's October 29th. He's going to be 37 years old at that time. I don't think that's the reason as to why it would be a detriment to Bryce. I do think it could be a detriment to Bryce because, as I just mentioned earlier, there's not a quarterback that Dave Canales worked closely with as a starting QB that failed. You don't want to be the first one. So if we go back to all these other QBs you're talking about that have had that success, now we have those guys in the back of our mind, and Bryce Young isn't playing up to snuff, but Baker did, but Geno did, but Russell certainly did. That is the way that it could be a detriment. It's like, wait, QB school worked for them. why in a second year isn't it working for you? And I think that's the reason as to why we might be looking at him sideways if he's getting off to a bad start the first 5, 6, 7 weeks.
Austin says, Wes, 100 on the point about fundamentals, and says, I'm a coach, and that was golden words of advice. Fundamentals, fundamentals, fundamentals. You always got to focus on it. And so another aspect to this, we've been talking about the possibility of the Panthers taking a quarterback in the later rounds of this draft. And do you feel like that there could be a possibility that Coach Canales could fall in love with another quarterback in this draft that he feels fits his offense and what he's looking for from a lot of those aspects that he's teaching at the quarterback school?
Yeah, he might like somebody a lot. I don't know who it would be. I don't know what that fit would be for him. The thing about Dave, too, is, I mean, these quarterbacks are different. Geno Smith is very different than Russell Wilson, very different than Baker Mayfield. And so I don't think we know exactly what it is that Canales likes working with the most. Mm-hmm. We can only it, which is a good thing. It means that he tailors his offense to what that QB does best. So he might like a guy that he thinks he can fix because of coaching ego. Every one of them has it. So if you have this coaching ego, then you might just fall in love with the raw prospect that has the Joe Milton arm, that has the feet of Jaden Daniels, whoever, whatever quarterback encompasses all of that skill set with the best ratio. Maybe that's who he would fall in love with. I think most of his attention this year is focusing on how you can get Bryce Young back to playing at a level he was close to playing at in Alabama. That's, I think, what most of his attention is. And then, if it doesn't work out, maybe he starts to fall in love with a quarterback in next year's draft. But I think there's a lot of focus. I hope there's a lot of focus, more so on Bryce Young, that doesn't allow himself to, you know, live this reality where you take a QB, you get the QB that you love, you start to focus on him, maybe more so, he picks it up, and now you want him to start over Bryce. Yeah, they might draft a QB in day three, but I don't know if there is one that fits Canales' offense best that I know, just because there's so many different offenses that he's run with these three quarterbacks. And if that does happen, I think it'd probably be more likely to happen next year.
Well, the thing is, too, we've heard Kurt Warner, we've heard other guys talk about it, just how hard it is to evaluate quarterback tape because of the type of offenses that they run. And it'd be interesting to me just to see how much tape Coach Canales has gotten to watch of some of these quarterbacks in the draft. You know, how educated is he? Which I'm sure he probably is well-versed on some of these guys, and I don't know how much he pays attention to the college game to be able to say to himself, oh, I remember this guy, or I watched this guy play. I like that he does this, 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 and this. So, but the thing about Coach Canales at the end of the day that excites you about all of it is I really do like a coach in football specifically that really pays a lot of attention and detail. And, you know, some people could look at it as micromanaging and things of that nature, but I like how he's taking these guys and starting them from the beginning and just building them up as players.
Well, and paying attention to detail, if you mistake that for micromanaging, that's where I think the attitude comes into play. Bill Belichick was a micromanager.
Yes.
And it worked. It also was very effective at not allowing players to have all that much fun to where they wanted out of there after a while. Dave Canales can't do that. You can't have that type of mentality, be that negative as much as Bill Belichick was. If you're going to pay attention to detail and you're going to micromanage, one, he's warranted in some sense because nothing's worked for Bryce, so you have to listen to the head coach. It's not like you can do things your way. Your way was terrible last year, or Frank Reich's way was terrible. This is how you need to play, but also the positive attitude, I think that comes into play if you're going to be so detail-oriented and nitpick every single thing that a player does. Yeah, you better have a positive attitude or else this is going to get highly annoying and then I'm not going to receive it as well. And plus, this is the whole if you can teach and make things fun thing. Like it feels like that's what Dave Canales subscribes to.
Coach Canales is also a guy, not just with the quarterbacks, but he is very involved in practice. Let's hear some sound from him as to why he is so involved in plays during the Panthers practices.
I think, number one, it's a workout for me, so it's steps. You know, if I had my tracker on there, I'm just getting more steps, moving around. It's infectious. It it shows the players, it gives the visual for the quarterback, the wide receivers, the coaching staff as well. Like, hey, let's be involved. Let's get in the middle of these drills, and let's not be the coaches that have our arms crossed, standing back on the sideline, reading a script. You know, let's be interactive, let's be developmentally minded, and let's be intentional. You know, so that's what I want from our whole group. So I have to lead by example that way.
I mean, Fitty, I know you hate the positivity, man, but I just feel like a lot of the stuff that he talks about, man, you can't help but like it and get excited. I mean, this is a coach that says, look, I'm not just going to be standing back here chilling. I want to be hands-on so that he knows when his team goes out there on Sunday, if they fail, he's going to put all of the blame on him, but he can't take but so much because he's going to know that he exhausted every bit of coaching that he could during the week. But, Fitty, does it still make you want to barf?
Oh, no. I mean, like, that's a really, really good answer. Like, and that's what you want to hear. I'm not against the positivity. I just wonder, how's that, you know, does the tone change if they're 2-8, if they're 3-7, if they start slow? That's the only concern that you have, because it seems like at every turn, this guy is eternally optimistic. And this is a pessimistic fan base because they haven't won a lot. And so I don't know how Panther fans are taking here into a guy that's been who's uber positive when he's coming into a pretty negative situation.
It's fair to question how the fans are going to react to what Dave Canales is selling us if they're 2-8, 100%. Do the players still pick up on that? Because if you're starting to be this negative head coach, if the players feed off of that, then I don't expect you to start winning football games anymore. And if the players don't pick up on your positivity, if you're still trying to sell them that with a losing record, well, then you're not going to be the head coach much longer here. So I'm hoping that the players will pick up on it. But it seems like it. I mean, how many sign-offs do we get from former players? The quarterbacks did, Baker, Geno Smith, Rashad White, Mike Evans. Anybody that we heard talk about Dave Canales freaking loved him. And so I'm hoping that translates to Carolina. I don't know why it wouldn't. Maybe that you just have a bunch of different personalities, but I'm hoping the players would have the same opinions about their head coach as all the other players did when they worked with Canales.
An 815 number, Walker asked, and I only ask you this because you said that you did not like this player very much, but he said if Jordan Travis is sitting there at 142, would you consider taking him?
I'd probably choose a different QB. I think the Jordan Travis stuff, if you see what everybody else was, and maybe he could be fixed, I don't know.
And I did want to ask you about that because I thought he was a guy that you really liked a lot.
I liked him in college enough.
That injury changes your perception of him, though, right?
No, that was
only a broken ankle.
Well, the injury.
Only a broken ankle.
No, well, broken ankle. You come back from that 6-8 weeks.
I actually don't really care a ton about one injury going into the draft. I actually think that's a way to make a shrewd move against all the other teams. So if you pass up on a guy for an injury that, you know, makes him miss the last 5 weeks or whatever, like, I actually think you can capitalize on his fall because he, even if he's healthy, he might go a little bit earlier. With Travis, it just seems like there's a lot of inaccuracies. It feels like some of the ball placement with the wide receivers and Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson weren't as great as some of the other ones there, or the tools certainly aren't there as much with Jordan Travis as they might have been with these other QBs. So that's why I'm going against Jordan Travis in favor of Spencer Rattler, who has all of the tools. If we're talking about them, I would take Jordan Travis probably over Sam Hartman if we're going like day three QBs that might be off the board.
I like Travis. I think that he's a guy that if he doesn't get hurt, I think he's probably going to be a second or third rounder, more than likely. If he had a chance to go through the workout process, I mean, his deep passing grade was a 91.8. Obviously, the no pressure grade looks really good. His intermediate grade was average, and then his pressure grade was 63rd by Pro Football
Focus. He had some weird pocket panic moments, though, yeah. It felt like. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on it because I did like him in college enough for Florida State to move on. And if he was healthy, yeah, I'd be totally fine, I guess, with the Seminoles making it. But maybe I'm wrong on that. Spencer Rattler would be the guy if we're talking about fourth round or on, if he's there.
Okay.
That would be my favorite quarterback in that area.
All right, folks, when we come back, fire or fizzle, we're talking about new NFL uniforms for 2024 on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
A Fire or Fizzle on Wes and Walker, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. But no, we're not talking draft here. Instead, we're talking NFL uniforms. We bring it up every now and then. We're bringing it here to Fire or Fizzle. And this one is a specific 2024 new NFL uni edition of Fire or Fizzle. Yet the first one, Wes, it's Carolina. The Panthers have not released a new jersey. I don't know what you're talking about, but let me know. The non-existent new uniforms for the Panthers in 2024, are they fire or fizzle?
Are you guys familiar with Martin, right?
The show?
Yes.
Bruh Man is one of my favorite characters
of
all
time. Well, you remember what he used to say to Tommy?
You ain't got no job?
Well, I'm going to apply that right here. As far as the Carolina Panthers in a new uniform in 2024... You ain't got no damn new uniform in 2024. Moving on.
Okay, we're done. Okay, so you're mad about it. Okay, I was wondering what you were doing about that. This has been his soapbox for a while with Carolina. He wants to see new uniforms. All right, we move on. The Denver Broncos, they released the new unis. Tell me how you feel about them, West Fire.
The Mile High Collection. They rolled out three jerseys. The Home Sunset Orange Summit White Road Jersey and Midnight Navy Alternate Jersey, which can be paired with pants of the same color. New navy and white helmets are also included in these changes as a desired throwback kit intended to go back to the 1977 years, the year in which the Broncos made their first Super Bowl appearance. They feature a number of region-specific details, including a mountain peak on each sleeve cap, inspired by both the Rocky Mountain landscape of the Denver area and the line work of the team's existing Broncos logo, which the team carried over to its new look. The meaning of the triangle points towards Denver's status as the Mile High City, where opponents must deal with altitude from the moment they step off the plane, including several other details. The Denver Broncos and their new uniforms for the 2024 season, even though they got Sean Payton, even though they got Zach Wilson, are straight fire. You better believe it.
I thought this was going fizzle. You like the Denver Broncos unis.
I do.
I will say they stole the whole Mile High thing from the Nuggets, who want you to see the 5280 on the front of their jerseys.
Yes.
So it continues to play in your mind. Just ask LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Even if they stole it, I think it's an effective strategy.
Yes.
Moving on. The Detroit Lions, they also got new uniforms.
That they did.
Is it fire, Wes?
Well, their new uniforms come following the success of their season, and which was ended by the 49ers. Had to get that in. The Lions leadership team set out to reestablish Honolulu Blue by working with Nike to adopt the richer tone of the unique color that harkens back to an earlier era. True Silver has also made its way back to the uniform. They're bringing black back as well in their uniforms, with a black jersey featuring Honolulu Blue, lettering encased in a silver outline, and an all-black alternate pant option. But check this out, though. Inspired in part by Ford's reimagination of the Bronco, the SUV served as a muse for the team in taking a classic look and creating a sharper interpretation for the modern era. Also, the striping across various pieces of the uniform were inspired by the sleek design commonly seen on the iconic Mustang. Rooted in Detroit, the uniform draws a connection between the team and the hardworking, passionate community that the Lions represent. The Detroit Lions have a lot of momentum coming into this season. And with them adding these uniforms to it, Detroit Lions, Honolulu Blue, with the black, with the silver, and straight fire, one of the best in the league.
Not Honolulu's anymore.
That's right.
Get it? They're
Honolulu's. I got you, baby.
Okay,
but I'm boom.
Make sure. Yeah, that was pretty terrible. I don't like explaining the joke. Moving on. Number 4, New York Jets. Fire, fizzle, Wes.
The New York Jets Legacy Collection, three uniform versions, Legacy Green, Legacy White, and Legacy Black, is a nod to the sack exchange era of 1979 through 89. Mark Gastineau, I know y'all are some young bucks. I didn't even get to see him play like that either.
I know the name.
The team's uniforms pay tribute to a historical time in the club's history while taking advantage of technology advancements in the industry. The Legacy jerseys will sport double stripe shoulders and single stripe pants, the same design the team wore from 79 to 89. They also include a refresher of the club's iconic Sack Exchange logo, featuring custom typeface with bolder composition, a refined pointed nose of plain for a faster look and feel, and tighter spacing between characters with consistent angles. The modernized Jets logo will be added to each helmet shell with either a white or green face mask. Due to the popularity of the bespoke green and matte black, the helmet shell's colors will remain the same. The New York Jets, the Sack Exchange uniforms, going for a bit of nostalgia, but guess what? Aaron Rodgers plays for you, and the uniforms all look the same. No matter what New York Jets said it is, they always look the same, so they are straight. Fizzle, get the hell out of here. And Aaron Rodgers wearing those uniforms makes it even worse.
Could have seen it coming. Aaron Rodgers on the team. It will never be fire as long as Aaron Rodgers is involved. Right. Last one, the Houston Texans. This seems to be the most different to me of all the new jerseys. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I have a feeling I'm going to find out when you dictate whether it's fire or fizzle.
Well, the Texans did this thing in a pretty interesting way, not a way that we see a lot. They took input from local fans, conducted 10,000 surveys, and reached out to 30 focus groups to design uniforms that reflected the city's culture. The home and away jerseys are similar to Houston's previous uniforms, but the alternative and color rush jerseys are new looks for the franchise. They call the alternate look H-Town Blue. The uniform is predominantly black with red letters and red numbers outlined in powder blue. The helmet features a cursive letter H. To drive home the theme, H-Town is stitched above the jersey number. The color rush look is bright red for the helmet, pants, and jersey. The helmet resembles one of the Texans' helmets that they wore previously, but with a slightly different logo. Texans owner Kyle McNair said, "Our fans asked us to be more H-Town, and we delivered. They were there with us every step of the way, and there's truly something for everyone over the four uniforms." The Houston Texans consulted the fans, and the fans spoke. They wanted to be more H-Town. They couldn't get more H-Town if they had Paul Wall, Bun B, Scarface, and all those Houston rappers out there to represent and wear those uniforms.
Still Trill.
Still Trill. The only thing missing from the uniform is a grill by Johnny Dang. But the Houston Texans and those new uniforms are straight fire. They killed it. Biddy, cut the music off.
Totally agree. These jerseys are pretty sweet. I like them.
They're all red. Oh.
Could you chop and screw them somehow to make it more
H-Town? Chop and screw them. I mean, you put some barbecue on it, brisket, whatever you want. They killed it. Panthers, what are you waiting for? Can we get some new uniforms, please?
Wait, I'm hear you on that to some degree. I like the unis, but I'm also now going with the H-Town theme. I want them to play at the block. With Scarface, this is my block.
Yeah.
Can you do so? I'm going all in. I'm all in on the scene.
They're probably going to get a few Houston rappers to collaborate and make those uniforms for them.
I really want this to, like, is that a hard enough song to come out to of the tunnel? Like, it's almost weird enough because my block is, like, happy, but also it's.
Yeah, it's a little.
Sometimes it has the alternate effect on.
Yeah, because you want to get the crowd going a little bit. I think if you want to go for a mix of something that is lower tempo, I mean, but still gets the crowd hype, Still Tipping.
Yeah.
Still Tipping to do it for them.
Well, Still Tipping.
Riding Dirty.
For some reason, I feel like the idea, once you hear that dun-dun-dun, dun-dun, I think the fans would go crazy.
Yeah, they that's not a bad choice.
But Still Tipping is harder.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes nuts. All right. People are writing it. I know. Just hear me out. Hear me out. People are rolling with Still Tipping. All right, that'll do it for Fire or Fizzle. That was a fun one to end on. We have another hour to go. The Prospect Duels up next. Sports Radio 92.7 FM.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.